A lot of time this morning. Anyhow, take your Bibles, if you will. Turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, if you will. In the book of Revelation, we've taken a look at some of the churches in chapter 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation. This morning, we're going to take a look at another church briefly. Last week, we took a look at the doctrine of Balaam. That was in the church of Pergamos, which is the worldly church. We have a lot of those today, don't we? Worldly churches. The first church was the church at Ephesus, the apostolic church. The next church was the church at... Yes?
We forget to sing happy birthday.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. See how easy I forget. Let's take a minute, if you will, and sing happy birthday. I know they thought they were going to get out of it, and they almost did. But anyway, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Rich and Dana. Happy birthday to you. All right. You thought you were going to get out of it, didn't you? Yeah. And you almost did.
I think we're going to need more than four guys to hold Rich down, though.
Are you? Well, we'll just forget it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just forget it. We'll hold Dana down and beat her.
We need a lot more power.
Yeah. I don't think her husband will let us get away with that. Okay. I don't think. I don't know. Okay, back to the Bible, if you will. Thanks for reminding me, Diane. I forgot all about it.
Boy. Revelation what passage?
Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We're going to look in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, the church at Thyatira this morning. In the meantime, the church at Ephesus was the apostolic church from about 30 A.D. to 110 A.D., Remember, these churches were seven literal churches. They represent seven types of church doctrine, and they represent seven periods of church history. The second church we looked at was the church at Smyrna, the persecuted church. If you're going to preach the gospel, you'll be persecuted, but not by the lost, by the churches. If you preach the truth, you're going to be persecuted. I've been there and done that. Then we had the church at Pergamos, the worldly church, the state religion. We have a lot of those today, don't we? The worldly church, part of the world. Now we're going to look at the church at Thyatira, which represents a time period from 500 to about 1500 A.D., the never-ending, never-tiring church of sacrifices. We're going to start doing that, I believe, in this church. We're going to start bringing in roadkill and sacrificing them to the Lord. I think it's the only way to go. I'm kidding.
Nope.
Don't pay any attention.
Disobey Colossians 2:8 when you do that.
Oh, my. Here we go. She's going to preach to me, right? Yeah. Okay, I was only kidding. Okay, back to the Bible. Thyatira, the never-ending, never-tiring church of sacrifices. Then, of course, after that, there's the church at Sardis, which is the Reformation church. And then the church of Philadelphia, the church in revival, which lasted up until about 1910. And then the Laodicean church, the dead church, the church that'll be on this earth when the rapture takes place, and I think we're probably pretty close. Verse 18 in Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works in charity and service and faith, and thy patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest or allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent, change their mind of their deeds. I think we'll stop there. We're going to take a look at Jezebel and what all that means. Why would he use the word Jezebel? I don't know if this was a literal person named Jezebel, but I do know the Lord is talking about the doctrine or the ideology of Jezebel. I want you to notice one thing, if you will, here. Let's go back, if you will, to verse 22. I want you to read that one more time. In verse 22, it says, "Behold, I will cast her," that's Jezebel, "into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation." What he's talking about here is the church of Babylon. The Babylon. Babylon is mentioned in Revelation in two entire chapters. Babylon is false religion. Jezebel is false religion. Turn in your Bibles, if you will. We're going to take a look at Jezebel. To 1 Kings chapter 16, and by the time we get through with this, we'll be out of time this morning. And we'll pick it up again next week in Revelation. But go to 1 Kings chapter 16. Take a brief look this morning at Jezebel and what she stood for and who she was. I don't know about you, if I had any children, any daughters, I don't think I'd ever name them Jezebel, would you? I don't think that's a name used very much anymore. 1 Kings chapter 16, let's begin, if you will, in verse 28. I'll probably hurry through this, so kind of make some marks in your Bible, if you will. In verse 28, 1 Kings chapter 16, "So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead." Ahab was the king of Israel. "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all who were before him." Not a very nice guy. But he was a ruler, a king. If you want to know what he looks like, just look at our politicians today. And you'll know exactly what Ahab was like. "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." Look up here for just a minute, if you will. Ahab married Jezebel, took her as his wife. He made a league with the Sidonians. That way you wouldn't have to go to war with them. Good idea? No. He took Jezebel as his wife, and as soon as he did, he went and served Baal, false gods. Why? Because his wife did. "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." Even built a whole temple to Baal. Make his wife happy. "And Ahab made an idol," a grove, an idol. "And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." Look up here for just a minute. I'm not supposed to preach about politics, but I'm going to tell you something. When our politicians make God angry, you better preach on it. And when our churches make God angry, you better preach on it. Ahab was the king of Israel, and he was an evil human being, and he took Jezebel to be his wife, and he was more evil than all the kings before him. He was supposed to serve God. The God of Israel was his God. He was supposed to serve his God, but he failed. On down, if you will. Verse 34, "In those days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation of it in Abraham, his firstborn, and set up the gates of it in his youngest son," and so forth and so forth. On down, if you will, to chapter 18. Let's go over there, if you will. Let's begin here, if you will, in verse 4. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Now go on down, if you will, to verse, 13. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Look up here for just a minute, if you will. What's going on here? Jezebel was trying to destroy the Lord's prophets. Why? Because when you do that, you destroy the Word of God. And if you can eradicate the Word of God, then you rule. You rule. You know how many churches today have eradicated the Word of God and they rule the people in their churches with a lie? Jezebel destroyed the prophets. 100 of them had to be hid in a cave and protected, or she would have killed every one of them. And then God promised a prophecy against Jezebel and her husband Ahab, and that prophecy came to pass eventually. But the key is in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 20 and 25. So go over there if you will. Now there's a lot of things going on here, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. There's another thing going on here in verse 21. We need to cover this. In verse 20, in chapter 21 rather, let's go to verse 1. See how much time we have? We're doing fine. And it came to pass after these things, chapter 21, 1 Kings, verse 1, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, nigh to or close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. Let me back up here for just a minute. I want to explain something. Verse 1, one more time. Notice the last part of that verse. And notice that it said, to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. I thought Ahab was the king of Israel. Didn't you? Isn't that what it said? Why would God call him the king of Samaria? I don't think I'm going to tell you.
Follow the Samaritan's ways.
Yes. Samaria. Samaria is the place where you have mixed nationalities. You got Jew and Gentile. And so instead of being the king of Israel, the Jews, Ahab, because he was a worldly king, became the king of Samaria, Jews and Gentile. In other words, he was mixed. He had mixed the religion of God with the religion of man and became the king of Samaria. So that's what that means. Okay, back to the Bible. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, verse 2, giving me the vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. Verse 3, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house sullen and displeased because of the word of Naboth. So here, look up here and let me explain what's going on here. You probably know. There was a piece of land that Ahab wanted so he could grow grapes and whatever he wanted to grow, so he wouldn't have to walk out of his castle very far and pick what he wanted, but the land didn't belong to him. It belonged to Naboth. Why? Because God gave it to him. It was the law. God gave every tribe of Israel a certain section of land. It was their land throughout entire generations. Still is. They're not there today. But it belongs to them. So this was Naboth's land. It was against God's law to give that land to Ahab. Ahab should have known that, the despicable, rotten puke. But he had a wife named Jezebel who rejected the whole thing. But verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no meat? And then he told her what the problem was. And in verse 7, and Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat meat, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And she did. Do you know how she did that? She brought up a great big lie against Naboth, destroyed his character, destroyed his life, took his land, and he was stoned to death. Isn't that rotten? Remember what I was telling you about Sarah Palin? They don't like her because she has morals, character, and they're lying about her. They've made up lies about her. Isn't it funny how the unrighteous, evil side of our society works? You just lie about somebody and make it up and promote it and get it on national television and everybody will believe it. Isn't it amazing how we just as soon believe a lie before we believe the truth? You know what that is? That is God bringing the evil upon us that we deserve. And then in chapter 21, verse 20 and 25, if you will. Verse 20. And Ahab said to Elijah, now there's a lot going on here between Elijah the prophet and Ahab and Jezebel. God is using Elijah, so go back and read it for yourself someday. Read the whole context. And in verse 20, Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? Remember, Elijah is God's prophet. He is Ahab's enemy. Ahab is the king of Israel. He's supposed to be Jewish. He's supposed to know the truth. But he fell into idol worship and idolatry, all because of his wife's influence by the name of Jezebel. Now, do you see what's happening here? Has the, oh, my enemy, caused God's prophet his enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. That's key. How did he sell himself to work evil? Wasn't his wife Jezebel who said, I'll get the property for you? And she did. Do you know why? Because he allowed his wife to work that evil so that he could acquire what he wanted. What a jerk. And then in verse 25, of course, God pronounced a prophecy against Jezebel here and so forth. Look in verse 23, if you will. And of Jezebel also spoke the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And they did. Good for her. I wish I'd have been there to see it. They ate every bit of her, by the way. There was nothing left, not even a bone. She had it coming. But in verse 25, there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Boy, doesn't that explain it? Doesn't that sum the whole thing up? There was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. First of all, he shouldn't have married Jezebel in the first place. Second of all, he shouldn't have listened to her. Third of all, if he did marry her, he should have turned her over his knee and paddled her hiney. Said, I'm the boss here, Jezebel. But of course, fellas, we know that won't work. We're all married. You can't do that. Back to Revelation chapter 2, if you will. And then we'll close. And sum it all up here, if we can. Remember now, Jezebel, pay attention if you will. Jezebel seduced Ahab. She stirred him up, and he listened to her like an idiot. And in verse 20, chapter 2, notwithstanding, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, allowest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants. Isn't that what happened to Ahab? Isn't that why God used the word Jezebel? Wasn't literally a Jezebel, but was a person just like Jezebel. You know, I'm going to give you a good example before we close. There's a church in Geneva. It's called a Baptist church. Right now, it doesn't have a pastor. And if it does get a pastor, he'll probably last at the most 6 months. They've been going through that for years now. I used to know a guy that wanted to be the pastor. He was also a funeral director in Geneva. He wanted to be the pastor there really bad, but they wouldn't take him. You know what the problem is with that church? The women run the church, and the men let them. And if the pastor doesn't preach what the women want him to, he's history. And the men let him. What kind of men are they? Not much, I'll tell you. I always wanted to preach there just one time. It'll never happen. But I'd love to just one time. Of course, after that, that'd be the last time because they'd never allow me back in the door again. But I would love to preach there just one time. Oh. I wonder if I could work that out somehow. No.
I'll lock you in the house.
In other words, you don't. Oh, I could expound on that forever. Okay. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, I won't preach there because I won't be allowed. But it'd be fun, I'll tell you that. But as you can see,
that was a good church at one time because I went there when I was a kid.
It was until it was taken over by the wrong people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been there. I know what's going on in that church.
They've been pastors in the last 5-6 years.
That's because the men don't have the gospel. They don't have a backbone, and their wives run the church. That's the reason for it. They ought to stand up and tell the wife to sit down, keep quiet. I'll take care of this. That's what they ought to do.
Matter of fact, I got an argument with one of the women there.
Good. No, I didn't go that far.
No.
Anyhow, in closing, let me just sum everything up here if I can this morning. When it comes to you and the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be no influence. If you want to know what God has in store, find a good place that teaches the Bible. Amen? Go to a church that opens up the Bible and says, if you got your Bible this morning, turn over to, and then go from there. You don't want to go to church that screams and shouts and says, oh, we just praise God. Of course, you don't have any idea what God wants for you. You don't have any idea what God says to say about anything. But we just praise and worship God, and we rock and roll, and we have all of our sacrifices, and we do this, and we do that. But if you really want to know what the Bible says, get into the Word of God. Don't let anyone influence you away from God like Jezebel did to Ahab. When you destroy the prophets, it's just a simple type of destroying the Word of God. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to talk about it. I don't care what it says. Matter of fact, there was a lady on TV here not too long ago trying to condone homosexuality. She said, I've never seen that in the Bible. Well, lady, you probably never picked one up. And if you did, it'd burn your fingertips, you know. What a joke. Anyhow, if you're here this morning and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, let me show you how easy it really is. You see, I can get religious. I can get religious all day long. And I can say, I'm pleasing God. But when I meet God, he'll say, I'm sorry, you're not coming into heaven. I got other places for you, but your sacrifices and your religious garbage mean absolutely nothing. Here's what the Bible says. I'm a sinner. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. Let's see, Psalm 32, 1 through 5, Psalm chapter 53, 1 through 5, various other places. I'm a sinner. My sin needs paid for. This is my sin. If this represents my sin, it needs paid for. Or I can go to the Bible. The Bible says Christ died on the cross. That's what the Bible said. Was buried and rose again. That's called the gospel. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Good news. The Bible says all I have to do is believe that. That's all I have to do. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read a Bible. I don't have to get religious. I don't have to praise God. I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is believe Christ died on the cross for my sins. The very second I do that, he says, your sin is paid. Marks it to his account. Isn't that great? If I do anything other than that, I don't have eternal life. Now, you don't have to believe that. You can go to church and get religious and you can do all these things, but I'm going to tell you, hell is a hot place. I don't want to go, do you? If you want to have eternal life, forgiveness of sin, all you have to do is believe the Bible. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that's you and me, does what?
Believeth
in him. Amen. It's that simple. Whosoever believeth in him has everlasting life. Not temporary.
Everlasting.
The eternal life. Can't beat it, can you? Pretty good deal. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, do it now, would you please? And then I'll tell you what will happen. Next week when you come into church, you'll listen to the Bible. It'll make 100% sense. It really will. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you that all we have to do is believe. He died on the cross for our sin. We have eternal life. Israel refused to believe that simple message. And look where they're at today. Most of our church refuses to believe that simple message. And look where we're at today. Give us the ability, Lord, to believe that simple message and to tell others about that simple message. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's see here. See what we've chosen.